Good morning. Our readings for today, first from Isaiah chapter 42. We'll find it here in our scriptures. You can follow along if you'd like to. Isaiah 42, prophecy, starting at verse 14. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools, and I will lead the blind in a way they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased, for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading, our epistle reading, is from Ephesians chapter 5. So we'll flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. Once again, you can follow along if you'd like. If you open up your scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 8. Paul writes, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading is a little longer than usual today. It is the entire chapter of John chapter 9. And there are options for breaking it up, but I think if we read it in its entirety, it brings a lot more clarity as to what's going on. So we're not going to break it up. We're just going to read John chapter 9 in its entirety. And this is the gospel. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him. He kept saying, 'I am the man.'" So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight, and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out and had found him, and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to Christ. So the question at the beginning of our gospel lesson is one that's been asked a lot of times about a lot of things. The disciples ask Jesus, what caused this man to be born blind? Why was he born blind? And they assumed, like most people, and even some people today, still believe that it was his sin or his parents' sin that caused him to be born blind. We need to be really careful about equating some sort of physical condition with sin in the sense of God's punishment or judgment. We need to be really cautious about taking that role or taking that perspective. Jesus puts it to bed right away, and he says it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So Jesus comes right out and says it's not sin that this man committed or that his parents committed that caused blindness. Blindness, deafness, not being able to walk, being paralyzed, all of the different diseases and infirmities of Jesus' day, most people equated with some type of sin, that the people had them committed some sort of sin, or it was in the family lineage. And even today, a lot of people will say that the current virus that we're experiencing, this separation and all of this, is God's judgment on sin. They've said it before about all of the catastrophes that happened, that it was some sort of judgment from God. I remember Hurricane Katrina. People said it was God's judgment on New Orleans for their sinfulness. And we had some pretty outspoken people who said, you know, 9/11, the falling of the destruction of the Twin Towers, that in New York, that was some sort of judgment, God's judgment on people. My question always is, well, if God's going to judge sin in that way, then none of us would be here, because we've all sinned, and no sin that you can equate from one place to another is exponentially worse or worthy of God's ultimate destruction. So we need to be really careful and really cautious about that way of thinking. And in fact, we probably need to eliminate it from our heads altogether. It's hard to do that. It comes back around all the time. We wonder, you know, whether God's judging his creation through different viruses or through different infirmities and things of that like that. It's an easy leap for us to make. But it's also really easy to read John chapter 9 and see that's not how God works. God has these things in place so that the works of God, as Jesus says, might be displayed in him. This man and all that he went through was there for God's purpose. God's purpose in him was that he would receive his sight in Jesus. So for us, as we struggle through these days of all of the things that are going on and we are challenged in our daily lives because this isn't what we're used to, we must not think that God is using this virus as a judgment. Again, because if that were the case, we'd all have it and we'd all die from it, if that were the way that God judged sin. God judged sin in Christ, that on the cross, the sins of the whole world, of all time and in all places, was placed on Jesus on the cross. That was God's judgment on sin. That was God's reaching out and physically, tangibly, spiritually, in every way imaginable, judging all of the sin of creation for all time and in all places, all people. It was done in Jesus. So on the cross, all of this judgment that we sometimes equate with hurricanes or earthquakes or volcanoes or viruses or war or whatever, all of those things, God has already judged them on the cross. Let me say that again. All of that stuff that we sometimes make this leap that God is sort of culling the herd or pronouncing judgment because of sin, that's already been done on the cross. It won't be done again. It was done once for all on the cross. There is no more judgment of God in that sense. He's not up there with his divine lightning bolt striking down individual sinners because of something that they've done. Again, if that were the case, none of us would be here. I wouldn't be recording this. You wouldn't be watching it. There wouldn't be anybody left on earth if that's the way God worked. Thanks be to God that he doesn't work that way. That he's already judged sin through Christ. And we, in our baptisms, in faith, are connected to Christ in that judgment so that our sins were judged in Christ. And on that cross, those sins were forgiven. Those sins are forgiven on the cross. So this virus is not God's judgment on sin. It's not God's punishment for something we've done or some way we've lived. We can't think that way. That's not the way that Jesus looks at that kind of stuff here in Scripture. So then what is it? Why are we going through this? And people ask that question all the time. Why do we suffer? Why does all of this stuff happen? Well, it happens for a number of reasons. And I'm not going to explain all of the different reasons that I understand them to be happening, because we all look at it a little bit differently. But there's any number of reasons that this stuff happens. Sin in general has corrupted creation, has broken all of the beautiful things that God has put together, and in that sin, things behave differently. Viruses that may have had a purpose in the past, we don't know what that would be. Kind of like some people said, well, what were mosquitoes' purpose? Yeah, we don't really know what the good purpose was in the past, how God used those things for the good of his creation. We do know that in sin, with the fall, that all of creation is corrupted, and so these things behave differently. Viruses that could have at one time been beneficial for something are now destructive. That's the way that the sinful creation works. So then, how do we look at this? How can we have a perspective that is scriptural, that is Christian, that is faith-based rather than fear-based? And it's really difficult. Because how do we know, or how do we see, that this crisis, this event, this time is so that the works of God might be displayed? Well, a lot of people have already said, you know, the church isn't just the four walls. And so now we have the opportunity as the church out there, as the church bound together by the Holy Spirit, not by geographic proximity, we have the opportunity to serve in ways that previously we might have ignored, or we might have just not paid as close attention to. So we have that opportunity to show the works of God in what we do and how we behave towards others. We're being forced into that. Before, we sort of had options, and sometimes we get lazy about that. But now we're being forced into that outside the walls service of the church. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. We mustn't be foolish and put others at risk in order to just say, well, I'm going to go serve, so we'll let God worry about the virus. No, we need to be careful. We need to be cautious. We need to be not foolish. We need to be smart about what we do. But we also need to see other ways we can serve, other ways we can help others. And right now, if we're being told that we shouldn't even leave the house, that makes it really difficult. But you can still send cards, letters. You can still phone call people. You can still text people. You can email people if you have a computer at home. There are lots of different ways you can reach out to others. I've seen a lot of people using their FaceTime from Apple and other video phone calls to gather groups of people together. And so you have, you know, this phone sitting there with somebody on it, but then there's all sorts of other images on the phone of other people who've gathered together. So you sort of come together as a virtual community. A friend of mine even had, he was playing a game. So he had a game board laid out, and he had his phone with a camera, and he was playing this game with four other people online, but in real life. It was very strange. But these are new opportunities. These are different opportunities. So why the virus? I don't know. Viruses behave in ways that I don't understand as a pastor. I'm not going to try and give you my medical opinion because it isn't worth anything. But what I am saying is that these things that happen to us, all of them, going again back to the hurricanes and things like that, they all give us opportunity to serve. They all provide ways in which the works of God can be displayed. And I'm not saying that God sends these things to us to say, hey, now is your opportunity with all of the death and destruction associated with it. What I'm saying is, in this world that is broken by sin, in this world that has struggles all its own, that there are opportunities to do the works of God in this place. And we need to take those opportunities. We need to find those opportunities. And yeah, we need to think creatively. And I'm one who struggles with that as far as the church goes. I always feel like we're rather limited, but we're not. And I need to be myself. I need to be more willing to do different things, willing to try different things in order to keep the gospel message going. And I also, I will confess, I also need to be I myself get jealous of other churches out there who have incredible technology, who have these praise bands that can get together and they can do a whole worship service online. I get jealous of that, and I confess that. I need to know that what God has given us, and we'll use the gifts that we have to the best of our abilities. So Jesus heals the man born blind so that the works of God would be displayed, and they are. In Jesus, the works of God are displayed as he heals the man, as he restores his sight, as he gives sight to the blind, and in faith, he restores our sight. He displays the work of God in us through the forgiveness of sins, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the ability to do the different things that we can do. It's a different kind of opportunity. It's a different kind of world that we live in. But this is where God has placed us at this time. He's given us the Holy Spirit an opportunity to use the gifts he's given us. And so we'll do that. And in Christ, we'll continue to do that, no matter what happens around us, because that's who we've been created to be. That's who we are. That's whose we are. And we will always be that. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus continue to grant us courage, creativity, and the willingness to serve so that the works of God might be displayed for all to see. Amen. A couple of updates. We had hoped to be open next week, but that's not going to happen. So we're going to continue to be meeting at home and listening to the latest reports. For those of you who hadn't heard, Les Kunkel has passed away. So no details yet as far as a service or anything. Obviously, we're not getting together because of restrictions. But that's okay. We'll plan something in the future. So keep Janet and her brothers and their families in prayer at this time. And we'll continue to update. Right now, we're just sitting on hold and waiting to see what's going to happen next. We'll let you know when we can get back together again. Thanks to everybody who's been helping keep the grounds of the church up to speed. It can be easy to let the grass grow, but thanks to everybody who's been coming out to take care of things here. I'm in the office next week if anybody needs anything, unless I'm told to not be in the office. I think I'll be here. And being the only one in the building, it's kind of easy to do. Peggy is here too. I don't know if she'll be here next week, but if you have any questions or thoughts, concerns, give us an email or give us a call. All right, take care. Go in peace and serve your neighbor. Thanks be to God.